fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name, making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like thrust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, diddle-diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580-KIDO, phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by the CEO of Competitive Edge Research, Steve Ackerman, is with us here. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
One thing I love talking about you is you make our job here very easy. We just come up with a question, and you'll have an answer, whether it's the president of Ukraine, the capital of Botswana, or the national debt. So this... It's always great to have somebody smart here on the staff. It's very refreshing considering the host. But I digress here at 580KIDO. Let's talk about a few things before we go into international national politics. Let's take a look competitively where Idaho is as a state. We're always talking about jobs. We just had the GDP allegedly blow up 4%. What that means to our pocketbooks, hopefully you'll be able to explain that. But first and foremost, based on your analysis, based on your political research, based on you researching people moving in and moving out, where are we?
We definitely could be better in terms of income. Our income does tend to be lower than average. I think it's around 12% lower in some cases than the national average. And that's because most of the job creation is not in high wage. They're not high wage jobs. They tend to be low-wage jobs, retail, hospitality, a lot of the service sector, which tends to be lower. So our problem is that while there is job creation, it's low-wage job creation. That's our big problem.
Is that just unique to us, or is that everywhere?
Well, it is, but we've got – it's higher here. It's definitely higher here. We're not balancing that, the lower wage, with enough in manufacturing and high tech. We're not balancing it with enough of the higher wage job sector creation. That's kind of our kind of Achilles heel. You know, if you compare us to Utah, Washington State, etc., we're really That's a tricky area for us. That's kind of our Achilles heel.
Is there any big reason why we can't attract the big money job? Well, before we get to that here at 580KIDO, then how can we continue to build all these homes if we're not producing enough folks that make the wages to afford them?
Yeah, it's going to become probably. You got two things happening. A lot of the larger homes that you are starting to see get created, those are being picked up by people who are either at retirement and have moved into Idaho. So they've sold a $500 or $700 or, $1,000 home, and then they've come into Idaho and they can buy $250,000 or something like that. That's one group that's coming in. Or that are able to buy them. And the other is we still have a lot of smaller homes that are being constructed. And so people are able to get, people are able to get a loan. Interest rates are low. And so they're able to scoop up, if you will, more of the smaller end or starter homes.
So we've become a bedroom community for California retirees?
In some ways, yeah. Yep.
Can a state thrive doing that?
The highest percentage of people now who are paying straight cash for their home. They don't even want to get a loan. They're just buying cash. They're selling off a $700,000 home and coming here and buying something for three.
And that's really fueling our home market right now?
That's one group that's doing it. The other thing that has been fueling our home buying has been, you know, we had a lot of foreclosed homes. And so those were being scooped up pretty heavily here. So another part of our home buying was actually a lot of your foreclosed homes, which are obviously very, you know, are very cheap, are much cheaper. So people were getting a $200,000 home for, you know, $90,000 or something like that. That was a lot of our homes that were, and then also homes that were kind of, they hadn't been foreclosed, but they'd been sitting on the market for a long time. So a lot of our home buying was kind of the foreclosed and the homes that were sitting for a long time, which tend to be cheaper in both cases.
Steve Ackerman with us, CEO of Competitive Edge Research. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Is there a risk that we could go through a housing bubble like we did? I mean, in 07, Ada County, the unemployment rate was 2%. That probably will never be again. However, we're building all these homes. Could we go through another bubble again? And have we really recovered from the last bubble, considering Steve Ackerman at 580KIDO, we're one of the hottest housing markets in the country?
Yeah, we could. And that's because interest rates are being held excessively low. Now, the Fed is recognizing that, and they're trying to figure out when can they start allowing those interest rates to go up by a little bit. But they're fighting right now between the idea that, you know, you've got some construction going and building material sales, you know, all the stuff that goes with that. It's starting to do better. So you don't want to hurt that. But on the other hand, if you keep them excessively low, then yes, it could be that people start overbuying. Now, we all learned quite a lesson, including the banks, when it comes to lending. So everybody's more careful. But yeah, that's always a concern, sure.
All right, let's move on as we take a look at some other issues here. So we've got housing, we've got employment. And let's take it to the level nationally, because we talk about this with Dave Petzo a lot and others. The mm-hmm. Fed keeps printing money or buying bonds with money they don't have. Petzo thinks that's not going to be a problem. But, Steve, in my own life, when I've overextended on credit, it's always come back to bite me. We've seen it with millions of Americans. We have the idea that there could be a bust in the stock market. What do you think economically of and I know they're cutting back, but they're calling it the Yellen bust, if you will.
Right. She's basically keeping Bernanke's policy of doing the buyback every month. Look, at some point they're going to have to scale back. You know, what they call the quantitative easing. They're going to have to scale that back at some point. She does. I mean, look, she recognizes it, but she does continue, you know, to go with it. So what you hear is, for now, it's still going on, even though they are cutting back. They cut back, I think, by another 10, you know, by another, they're in tranches of 10. Look, at some point, you've got to have interest rates reconciled. And yes, part of the reason why the stock market is doing so well is because they are buying back. They are artificially putting more money in the economy. And that does send the signal that credit is cheap, but, you know, that has an inflation impact. We've been pretty lucky so far, although people would say, look, it's just gotten more expensive out there when I do my shopping. And so that's inflation has been creeping in.
Now you bring up a good point, Steve Ackerman, because let's face it, food prices under this administration have gone up incredibly, and yet that's been underreported.
Yes, it has been underreported. That's true.
I mean, now they're saying, hey, the price of beef is going up. That's great for the ranchers here in Idaho. However, on the other hand, at 580KIDO, let's face it, I mean, milk has gone up. The cost of basically living has gone up, and it's been underreported.
It has been underreported. And the problem is that if you pump out extra money and you create inflation, especially on staple goods, then that lower income, that lower average income that we tend to have here, it makes it much more difficult for consumers to make other purchases, to feel comfortable to make, you know, a larger purchase, right, to buy that car earlier. So then what do? You put in the cash for clunkers to try to deal with that. Okay, well, now you can sell some cars, but now you're losing, you know, you're losing other money to the cash for clunkers program. So, you know, there's kind of no free lunch here. And also, it may help, you know, it may help ranchers, but it helps them temporarily because people are not able to sustain that. So they're getting a spike in some profit, but, you know, that's not permanent. It's also unstable. It's a little bit rocky for them. And there was actually an article just the other day in the Statesman about how volatile the prices have been in basic commodities, and cattle, beef was one of them in Idaho.
Exactly. Let's continue on. All right, switching gears. Any surprises over the injunction that didn't happen 2 days ago?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure which way they were going to go. So I thought some things made sense in terms of there are a lot of problems with the GOP overall in Idaho that they're just not following proper procedures in a lot of ways. So I guess that's not a surprise, although I'll be honest with you, I didn't know which way the judge is going to go. But I'll tell you the one thing that didn't surprise me was that Barry Peterson said, you know what, I'm not going to run again. I'm going to go ahead and walk away. He's very much a gentleman. I thought that the judge, the one thing that threw me was that the judge really didn't take account, I don't think, of the fact that at that convention, it was understood that the leadership was going to be in place when they adjourned. That was, you know, people told me I was on tape, that's out there. So that kind of setting all that aside, that threw me a little bit, but, you know, it was a fairly complex ruling in some ways.
Right. So what's the aftermath now?
Well, so the aftermath is that the Idaho GOP is going to continue to be divided. They're going to have their meeting on the 2nd. They're going to put in, you know, the people they want. And, you're basically going to have a GOP in Idaho where the platform doesn't really matter, where you're going to probably see a lower turnout, a depressed turnout. So it's going to be this drive to try to get conservatives to show up. And then the Blukoff camp just got a boost.
Let's get back to that. A final thought before we continue. Actually, let's hold this thought. Will we see a run to increase the fuel tax? Steve Ackerman will answer that question next. Kevin Miller in the morning. Steve Ackerman with us, CEO of Competitive Edge Research. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
623, Kevin Miller with Steve Ackerman, CEO of Competitive Edge Research. Now, this has been rumored by you and Tea Party Bob for quite some time here at 580 KIDO, the idea that we could see Republicans possibly pushing an increase in the fuel tax.
Yeah, that's Now, are you talking about the federal moving on the federal, supporting the federal one?
No, the state one.
The state. Yeah, that's been out there. I mean, that's been an issue. That was an issue, gosh, back a couple times, 2006, and I think 2010, it's kind of floated around. But yeah, that's to pay for infrastructure. It's the same argument essentially as the federal. But yes, that's being floated again. Yep.
Right. In fact, a lot of folks believe the only reason why that it wasn't proposed in the last session was because if it was a primary, it was an election. And once everybody's elected or reelected, there'll be no consequences. So the same party that gave us the health exchange will give us higher fuel costs per gallon. Do you believe that will happen?
That's a valid argument. Yep.
And the argument will be, well, we've got to pay for the roads. Where the bridges are going to go? Well, what are they doing? What have they done with the current money? I mean, in other states, we see this all the time, particularly in Pennsylvania, where they've used it to balance the general fund, which is not the purpose of the fuel tax. Any idea on how efficient we are or aren't when it comes to spending our gas tax dollars, Steve Ackerman?
You know, I don't have a good metric on our efficiency. I do know that there is a worry that it can go to, you know, that it can slip into the general fund. That was part of the grocery. That was one of the grocery tax arguments, was that the money they set aside early on, right, to pay for some of the exemptions for the grocery tax, that money gets spent somewhere else problematically. And so that certainly is a worry. You know, we're certainly seeing a lot of construction going on in the valley here, in the Treasure Valley. There's a question, though, as to the extent there's really the amount of damage that would justify it. And I think also because we, you know, there has been some borrowing in the past that I would say that they need to proceed with a bit of caution and really think about whether they're following economic growth to justify, you know, beefing up, you know, kind of expanding the infrastructure, if you will, not shoring it up, but expanding it. So our roads tend to be pretty good here overall. At least my travel through the state, you know, they tend to be pretty good.
Well, considering the lack of traffic, you know, the only traffic we have here in Idaho is the ones that we create, which is particularly on 84 right now, you know, on your way to Meridian. And at the Meridian road exit, of course, that new bridge is needed. But those are federal dollars. It just seems to me that you're going to have a lot of people because there's a lot of big money for the people that will get these contracts, Steve Ackerman.
Yeah, there are. You know, there. Yep, it does lock in. It does lock that in. You know, but that can't be the driver. It's really got to be the conditions of the roads, right? And the bridges, etc. I mean, that's got to be what it is, and it's got to take into account in a lot of our state the weather and the effects of the weather and who really gets a lot of weather. You know, we get some here, but you know, obviously up north there are other areas where they get a lot more. So that those really need to be the drivers of any kind of infrastructure spending.
All right, Steve Ackerman with us, 580KIDO. So we've got A.J. Belukoff, Democrat for governor. He's gone on TV. Hasn't done a lot as someone who worked with Russ Fulcher on his primary challenge to Butch Otter. How do you see Mr. Belukoff's chances?
Well, Mr. Belukoff's got an interesting campaign. I heard an ad. I'm trying to think if I heard or saw something. I think I saw something. Yeah, that's right, because he is on TV now. So he's, you know, he's making a lot of arguments that we talked about in terms of the economy. You know, he says education, investment, et cetera, a little bit differently, although we have the STEM program. You know, look, he's coming on. He's pledged to match donations. He's looks like he's got a solid campaign. I've talked with some of the members, you know, as we've talked with all the candidates that Bob and I have. And, look, they've got a pretty professional operation. So that tells you, number one, he's taking it seriously between staff and, you know, professional operation and money. That's number one. Number two, he's got some clear ideas of where he wants to go, and he's going to be a serious challenge. And I would say that given everything that's been happening on the GOP side, that's certainly going to boost, as I mentioned, that's going to boost his chances, Belukoff's chances. So It's going to be a serious race, a real race. Democrats have a good shot.
Right, and we could talk about the split in the Republican Party, but Mr. Belukoff has really come out, you know, to favor education. He's looked at Common Core. I mean, wouldn't you, if you were running his campaign, just tell him, look, all you have to do is pretend to be Butch Otter liked or mimic Butch Otter, Governor Otter, and get in, as opposed to saying, well, I'm not going to let the NRA do these things. I'm going to stand up to them, blah, 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 blah. That's great for his base, but in Idaho, the Democratic base, the radical liberal base, may win you the mayorship in Boise. I don't think it's going to win you the state.
No, that's right. The radical, you know, the that very extreme liberal, no, you don't cater to them. They're a small group. What you cater to are very much the moderates who are closer to the Republican moderates. And, you know, stay away from the kind of social cultural issues. Look, he's got business in his background and he's school board. So now you look at just those two pieces. He's done some other things, but take those two pieces. The focus there is economic development, which he is hitting right on the money. Not only the low income, but he's talking about that our growth is not there. And frankly, that we're not backing local companies, Idaho companies, and helping them to move forward, making it easier for them to expand their business. Instead, we're doing these kind of, you know, these odd attractions of outside companies, and, you know, they just don't have the loyalty. And so that's a bit, that's going to resonate with a lot of people. But I also think on education, having been on a school board and being a Democrat talking with the Obama administration, he's actually got some credibility, kind of a Nixon goes to China moment. He's got some credibility to push back on the Obama administration, because, Kevin, if they get a D in Idaho, they're just happy. They don't care who the guy is.
Well, they're happy for 2 years.
Moderate, yeah. Stay away from the cultural issues.
Right, right. Again, for 2 years until Obama leaves. Any thoughts on, finally, Steve Ackerman, we've got this John Boehner lawsuit going on We've got the president, according to Glenn Beck, saying impeach me, impeach me, impeach me. Fundraising going crazy for the Democrats. The Republicans say, we're not going to impeach. We're going to take him to Judge Judy. And you still have many Americans, many hardworking, honest folks like us wondering, where's our future?
Yeah, the GOP is moving forward for you know, I mean, and you know, you've laid it out. And so the bottom line is it is very important, in particular, long term. It should curtail the president a little bit, although he talks a big game. But, you know, Supreme Court has cut him down a little bit here. I would say, number one, that if they, you know, that, well, they have voted it in. But I mean, if this actually gets through, they've got to follow through. Otherwise, it's going to look like political theater. Boehner, I think, is looking pretty good at home. He's pretty strong at home. He's probably not going to be there a whole lot longer. So he's probably more inclined to go forward. And President Obama's just got to get the signal that, you know, he has overstepped in a couple of areas. But he's going to keep it political if he can. That's going to be that's the counter. You know, that's going to be his counter.
All right.
But you're right. People can feel ignored by it. But it's a longer term help. But yeah.
Right. Steve Ackerman with us here. All right. Final thought, part two. Very inside baseball here, but I have to ask you. You have a man who's worked for the Idaho Statesman for 30 years, the dean of Idaho Political Reporting, came here in 84 at the police beat, the scourge of every conservative and Republican from Larry Craig to Raul Labrador, Dan Popke. Now, all of a sudden, he's working for arguably one of the most conservative congressmen in the country. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's really both for the blue. You know, I don't think Popke is as purely liberal as a lot of people argue. I look, he's a pretty independent guy. He's always been very independent. When I've read his stuff,
let's look at the ethics of it. You've covered politics. A person you've covered, all of a sudden you're working for, does that match? You know, and again, Mr. Popke has no problem asking those questions. I think that should be asked. And number two, what is this? The congressman's sixth press secretary in less than 4 years? Now, I know no one in the state will ask these tough questions or spell them out. And while I'm here on the radio at 580 KIDO, I will. And I'll put it to you. I mean, we're talking at least either the fourth or the sixth press secretary. Obviously, there's some issues here, but I don't think that that'd be the equivalent of me, you know, hiring Mike Lanza to be my producer who's working for Mr. Belukov or, you know, or Matt Erpelding. It just doesn't work. And you're not going to have a lot of folks. And, you know, this, the base is not too happy with this. So why would you do it? And I know that you're a diplomat. You're much more well thought of than I am. But I mean, what the blank?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I mean, it does take that tough questioner off the plate, and it did happen quickly. It wasn't like there was any time period in between. That's something, especially going from a reporter going back, you know, kind of, or going to the inside, you know, inside the camp, if you will, right? That was quick. I mean, there isn't any kind of a delay. You know, Labrador shoots for another position pretty quickly, you know, rising up. And I think Popke's looking at it like, you know, I know what the GOP is going to do here in Idaho. I know how things are going to play out. I think Popke sees it as an opportunity to get inside a camp where the guy's going to, you know, the guy's going to take shots for promotion wherever he can get them. Labrador's pretty active on that. And so I think Popke looks at it like this is going to be a lot of fun for that. And I think for Labrador, I think he did hit on something, and that is that tough questioner from Popke is now gone. And plus all that inside baseball that Labrador knows he knows, having a lot of press secretaries can be a little destabilizing. You know, you do want to have kind of the hold to your same staff over time. That can be destabilizing for a member of Congress.
Yeah, I don't think it's good, but they're their own people, so we wish them luck. Steve Ackerman, the CEO of Competitive Edge Research, we always appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, you're a great American. I know you've never heard that before.
That's right. You as well, my friend. You as well.
All right, Steve Ackerman with us. We appreciate it. 6:35, coming up the news from Channel 7. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Kevin.
You're a great man. You know, I can sit there and listen to Kevin Miller. It knows my heart too.
I like your subject matter this morning.
You have a great stance as far as your program is concerned. We appreciate Kevin Miller on KIDO.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
They have announced that they're going to sue me for taking executive actions to help people. So, you know, they're mad because I'm doing my job.
There we have it, the President of the United States reacting to Congress approving the measure to sue the president. Now, as we discussed, I think you either follow the Constitution or you don't. If the president has indeed, as we have heard from many sources, overstepped his actions, if he's going to legalize the illegals, if he's going to do this all in the name of, well, he knows best, Mr. President knows best, then Congress has a duty to follow the rules of impeachment. The problem with impeachment, though, is that if you do that, it fires up the Democratic base. But the president, he's calling people out. He's back on the trail. And here's what he has to say.
Everybody recognizes this is a political stunt. But it's worse than that because every vote they're taking like that means a vote they're not taking to actually help you.
That's right. Of course, you take a look at this administration and look. And we're going to try and take a look at this thing from a nonpartisan point of view. Yeah, a huge day yesterday for them. GDP up 4%. However, one big shoe has not dropped. And we all know what that is. That's the Obamacare mandates that everybody has been given a waiver, for this year. And that waiver is going to be done after the primary. That waiver is going to be done. By the way, here's another good one. You could just go all over the place. You take a look at this news out of Washington here at 580 KIDO. We've got some of these emails from Lois Lerner, and it's thanks to our friends at Judicial Watch that we have this, but the former head of the Internal Revenue Service wrote in an exchange with an unnamed non-IRS official, quote, "Maybe we're through if there are that many blank holes." She called some Republicans, quote, a-holes and crazies. Now, this was in 2012. These were in emails released by the House Republicans. Later, Lois Lerner added, "We don't need to worry about alien terrorists. It's our own crazies that will take us down." Now, Lerner in these emails doesn't say Republican or conservative in particular emails. She and the unnamed person were discussing conservative talk radio hosts. Now, how many times, whether you're like Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, whether you're like our friend Greg Pruitt, you've been involved with the Boy Scouts, you've been involved in a leadership position involving kids. And when you're in a leadership position, whether it's at the church, whether it's at work, whether it's in a social group, there are certain ways that you do and do not behave. Look, at the age of 46, I still struggle with how to behave appropriately, how to dress appropriately. And everybody gives me a hard time about wearing Crocs. Look, if you're going to be the CEO of a company, you don't come in with Crocs unless you actually own the company. Then it doesn't matter. But I digress. When you're the head of a government organization that has the responsibility of making your life misery. I don't know how many people that I've run into lately that have been audited, that have been destroyed by the Internal Revenue Service. You know, I sit back and I've been very blessed to be with you. And I have lived the life of a simpleton. And I know what you're saying, Kevin, don't rip on yourself. No, it's true. I, for many, many years until I got married, I would do the 1040 easy. Why? Because I saw so many friends of mine get ripped and hosed by the government because their deductions were not approved. Now, the Internal Revenue Service decides who does get audited and who doesn't. That's why, and again, you can always Google Kevin Miller Obama to know why I am with you. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to be shown the door by the president. Maybe one day, if we ever write those things down, or we'll put it in a blog post. Really, just Google Kevin Miller Obama, WorldNet Daily covered the story. Or you can buy the book Shut Up America. I believe it's on page 184. It details what happens when you speak out too much with this administration. You get audited. You get run. It's proof. Now, the Republicans are running to Eric Holder. Hey, Eric, you going to do anything about your babe Lois over there? Probably not. Probably not. But to the business people that the IRS has destroyed all over the country, you have a responsibility to act like an adult and not put in emails, not say anything about calling people a-holes or crazies, right? Who was running that department? Dean Wormer? Let's hear what the president has to say about this. I'm sure he's concerned.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
Anti-government Ryan with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Kevin. It's a great day to be an American. Kevin, I heard about these Lois Lerner emails yesterday, and it's very troubling to me because it certainly shows that her malice and vindictiveness toward Republicans. And I was watching, I don't remember if it was ABC or NBC News yesterday, but they were describing this, and they said the House Republicans got these emails. Well, no, there shouldn't be no Republican or Democrat on a deal like this, because this should be very troubling that the IRS is targeting a specific block of people that somebody has a personal hatred toward, which these emails certainly prove. And this is just the Obama says, the smidgen of emails that's available. Think about all the emails that just magically disappeared into la-la land. You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
I agree with you, and continue to disappear. And the idea that, well, the FBI is going to stop them now. No, they're not. Or, you know, here's the deal. It's like dealing with incompetency at work, anti-government Ryan. You go to your boss, and you say, such and such is stealing from the company. Such and such is stealing from the company, and you know what they do? They go after you for being the whistleblower. So what do? You just go, well, I'm just going to mind my own business.
Well, to be honest with you, Kevin, I'm a certified fraud examiner, and so I do certain investigations for my company that I work for, and we've uncovered stuff before, and oftentimes if the person's in the right position, they'll just, you know, sweep it under the rug because, hell, you know, no big deal, you know. But
now you do it. It is a big deal.
Well, just you gotta know, have the right connections. It's, as they say, Kevin, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But furthermore, Kevin, all these Democrats like to talk about how humanitarian they are toward the people on the border. Well, what about being humanitarian toward the investigation process, toward all these human beings that you damaged because the IRS targeted specific organizations, right? So they always like to talk about, oh, the people on the border, they're human beings too. Well, the people, the Republicans that ran these different organizations that were targeted by the IRS, they're human beings too. They have families. They have children. They have financial responsibilities, bills to pay. They're humans too. So where's the Democrats' outrage on the humanitarian effort toward all the lives that the IRS hammered unnecessarily? You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
I totally agree. I got to run, anti-government Ryan. I appreciate you listening, brother.
God bless you, Kevin.
God bless you, sir. Take care. There we have it, anti-government Ryan. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at, well, careers. You know, Sean Hannity, God love him. We're so happy that he's here. We're so happy that we have Sean Hannity here. And you know that, you know, we've known Sean. I don't like to say I because this program is we, that we've known Sean Hannity for years. And he's always talking about solutions. And we've been doing that as well. And coming up, we're going to talk about the power of service. The power of service and what that can do for your life, your career. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
I'm back. Weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up next hour, we will take a look at one state. I think there's a few states in the country that are actually giving licenses to the undocumented, to the illegal immigrants, the undocumented, the migrant folks, the illegal aliens. That goes into effect. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, again, just talking about the idea of good customer service. Is that an antiquated thought? But first and foremost, when we have something so delicious that we use them to wake you up with, let's get back to the president here.
We could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit. Just come on. Come on and help out a little bit. Stop being mad all the time.
Yeah, stop being mad all the time. Wow. Or stop hating.
Stop just hating all the time. Yeah. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
Now, does that sound presidential to you? Does that sound like someone who wants to really work with Congress? You know, I guess it's the old Clinton playbook where Bill Clinton would go out and bash the Republicans. Aren't people tired of that? And it's funny because everybody that gets elected, whether it's Obama, whether it's George, whether it's George's daddy, Daddy George, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, they all go to Washington with the idea of doing something. And in their states, they've worked with the Democrats, they've worked with the Republicans, and then they get to D.C., and whether it's ego, whether it's pride, whether it's something else, what happens? Well, we get gridlock, which is the way our founding fathers designed it, number one. But number two, you know, we go back to our political process. Look, Congress is about ready to take an August recess. Do you get an August recess? You might get a week off, but really, an entire month? To do what? To do what? Shouldn't they be justifying their existence to us? 67 right now in Star, Idaho. At Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to... And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, political consultant China Gum joins us. We'll take a look at a few issues, not just politically, but socially, about views in the West. Don't miss it. Kevin Miller, Fox News is next. Thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO.